And then if we can clap all together. 3, 2, 1.
Christ.
Damn, for real?
Dude, it's like when I'm watching like Yankee games and I'm in the group chat with my baseball buddies and they're like, "Oh shit." And I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "He struck out." I'm like, "It's 1-1."
Yeah. It's watching you react is like getting the FOTMOB notifications.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we're back. It is episode 1 something, 180 something, whatever. Full slate, full team is here. Nick's in the building again. Dylan's here. Michael is here, maybe a few time zones behind. We're going to deal with that. If it becomes a problem, we'll just kick him out. We'll give him a red card. Totally fine. But the whole gang's here. We had a big weekend, Dylan and I. Nick and Michael, not sure what you got into this weekend, but Dylan, what a great time in Happy Valley. The score did not reflect that, but other than that, it was a good tailgate for us.
I've never had more fun watching a 66-yard touchdown run and pissing so many people off at the same time. It was amazing.
There was euphoria in the Delaware section of the stands when the lone touchdown was scored for the Blue Hens. Decent amount of Delaware fans, though. Way to make the trip, way to make the journey. It was not a total loss because I do feel like a lot of Delaware people were drunk at the one bar, that Doggies bar we went to afterwards, and it looked like they were having a fun time too. So decent weekend for the Blue Hens. I mentioned this beforehand. If anyone who went on the trip is listening to this, I apologize for singing Revival 400. I think it was 4.3 million times, and it was not even the full song. It was just the first line. And then I would throw different words into it, like having a Blue Hen revival. That never happened.
You have nothing to apologize for. That's the purpose of that song, is to be repeated the same line over and over and over again.
Well, I'll tell you this. When we got home, Alexis, we were in the car on the way home, and I was like, "Hey, like, we should listen to the rest of that Zach Bryan album." She goes, "Absolutely not. No shot." So at some point we will.
There's also like 36 songs on the album.
Yeah, no,
it's so long.
And I did listen to it finally, but I think I scarred my wife. So
are you officially a fan?
Yeah, I mean, so I have a very love-hate relationship with country itself. I think some of it is just so totally over the top, I can't even get into it. And other stuff is bonfire music, which is the best kind of country, I think. I like his stuff a lot. It's very, very good. Very good. Michael, you're going through a music revival, too.
Yeah. I currently only would listen to, like, rap and hip-hop because I would only run and work out when I listen to music. And that shit has been detritus lately. Like, it's not been good. Like, there's been no good rap, no good hip-hop. So I was like, all right, fuck it. People send me albums. I got like 15, 16 albums in the chamber I'm listening to. I actually just listened to, who was it? I just listened to Sam Fender, 17 Going Under. Absolutely incredible running music. I thought I was like in euphoria on mile 6. It was great.
You should try Guts by Olivia Rodrigo. It got a score of 100 from Rolling Stones.
Listen, I'll listen to pretty much anything because the other day I was, like, lifting to, like, folk alternative, and I was like, this is definitely not the setting for this, but it's still pretty good. But I have Zach Bryan's new album in the queue as well that I'm going to listen to all the way through.
Before I go to you, Nick, between Zach Bryan on the trip to Penn State. And then I haven't seen this in a while, obviously, because I don't work with kids. Nick, maybe you can confirm this, but you know when, like, a child is like, hey, I know I'm getting this toy, or hey, I know I'm getting this, and I just have to wait a little bit, but I can't wait, and I want to go play with this thing, I want to go do this. The amount of joy seeing Dylan tell me only, like, 2.5 minutes into being in the house that, hey, I have the song of the summer for you, or the song of the fall, or no, whatever it is. No, song of the summer. This Olivia Rodrigo song, and he played it with a grin from ear to ear. It was the funniest thing in the entire world.
And?
Very good song. Olivia Rodrigo. but it's, and we mentioned this before, jokes aside, I will never, she's 19. It feels a little weird to listen to her sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
No, she gets me. It's the, Nick, she's describing all the pain of a wolf's band in one album.
Hold on, ready? Guts?
Yeah.
Guts? John Whitaker at the bottom. He's listening to it.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I didn't say I didn't listen to it, but I listened to it with the mindset of, like, this is a 19-year-old. What the hell? Nick, what's been going on in your music world? I know you're about to say something.
I just want to throw an addition. Michael says he's such an eclectic music listener. I guarantee, or I dare you, to listen to Chromatica by Lady Gaga and not just want to fucking get all hyped and fired up. I'm telling you, that gets the vibes going.
You know what? You know what the messed up thing is?
Like a feel good Friday mood.
I have listened to Chromatica by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, already. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
Wait till we teach you about Avicii.
Oh God,
dude!
And then Avicii, and then Avicii, I know, already... and then Avicii by Avicii, dude. Hold that's on. A whole another level of levels.
Hold on, you guys. I haven't been shut off from the rest of the music world. It's just not something that I like search out as much. So I know who Avicii is.
I have been shut out from the music world, and this is evident of that because the car that we took over to the tailgate was me, Dylan, his wife, and his wife's friend, Rima, who was driving. And they were playing music. And something happened. Like, people just didn't have an next queued up song. And I'm in the front seat. So I just went ahead and I picked a Young Thug Elton John song. Michael, the mood in that car shifted so quickly. There's like, who the fuck put this on?
Well, you changed it from Remember the Name by Fort Minor. Like, we were grooving.
Who's Fort Minor?
Also... Are you serious? Also, please understand. Fort Minor. From,
sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Please understand going from Fort Minor to Young Thug is just an absolute knee-jerk reaction if there ever was one.
Well, it then led me to go down the greatest, one of the greatest albums of all time, and we just did Get Rich or Die Trying. So we're ready to go. Yeah.
True. Last thing about that is I want to shout out Rima, because when that song came on, we were halfway through, she did look at me and she was like, you want me to take the music back, right? And I was like, yeah, very much so. Please do. So she kind of saved me from myself there. All right. Big weekend. Penn State weekend. It was great. It was a ton of fun. Recommend it to anyone who can make the trip, tailgate, go drink with the kids. We definitely felt like old people there. Shout out to Coco Gauff. With that... That may be one. I want to do the dudes of the week. I think we can do it on the fly. We don't have to do three. Let's do two. Is that cool?
All right.
Nick, you can go last.
No, I got one.
John just gave you one.
Yeah, definitely.
No. Definitely. I don't copy. I don't steal. If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail on my own. I'm not going to fail cheating.
So what we'll do... is it doesn't have to be as soccer related. It was that international break. We're going to talk about Team USA here in a second, just their two games against Uzbekistan and Oman. High level notes there. Then we're going to get into our predictions for the week, our bets for the weekend, and then wrap it up there. It'll be a pretty quick episode. I'll go first, since I'm putting myself on the spot here with the dudes of the week. My first dude of the week goes out to a guy on the Ecuadorian soccer team. His name is Jefferson Soteldo. And the reason I want to bring this up is he came out, or sorry, Venezuelan, not Ecuadorian. God, that was terrible. Venezuelan soccer team. This man is 5'2". He's in the starting lineup for Venezuela. And you know how they walk out with the kids? His teammates put the tallest kid next to him. And he is a full inch taller than this guy. It's a hilarious picture. I will have to send it to the group chat. I'll post it on our socials. But my first dude of the week, Jefferson Soteldo. Shout out to you, 5'2". Big guy. Big guy. Dylan, you want to roll next? We'll go Dylan, Michael, Nick, Nick, Michael, Dylan, me.
Marcus Yarns is my dude of the week. He is the Delaware running back who scored that 66-yard touchdown and covered Delaware's points of over 5.5 in the first quarter. So, dude of the week.
Love him. Love him. Michael, your first dude of the week.
To the New York Jets, Jordan Whitehead, 3 interceptions on Josh Allen, saved what was a massive amount of money on the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. After 4 plays, I still got a huge payout on Jets' money line, mainly because of their defense and the guy who returned the punt. But shout out to him, 3 interceptions kept me alive.
Nick, before you go, I just want to tell Dylan this because he was there when I picked my team. Aaron Rodgers, I started at quarterback, 0 points. T. Higgins, I started at wide receiver, 0 points. I accidentally kept Travis Kelce in my starting lineup, 0 points. Antonio Gibson was one of my starting running backs, 0.4 points. But the kicker for Buffalo got me 13. So, needless to say, I lost 100.
Bass, baby.
Yeah, I lost 100 to 58. It was tough. Tough scenes. But, oh well. We're better next week. Nick, your first due to the week. First and second due to the week.
I got to go with the Jets theme still. I got to go with Zach Wilson. The dude just needs some love, man. He has been getting trashed all day on New York sports media. Like, I feel like he's not good. He sucks, but I feel like he needs some positivity in the world there. From all from my Jet fan friends, I'll make him my dude of the week out of sympathy.
Shout out to the MILF Hunter. Sorry, Mom and Barb.
He was at the local. He was at the ice cream shop right by our high school. Apparently, he dates a local girl down here at the Jersey Shore.
It's a woman, but yes.
He's 24. He's a kid.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Second round.
I'm going to make a shout out to the Ocean Township left winger Noor Iraki. Huge week in a big point tie in group play for the Shore Conference tournament, and a couple assists today too. So we actually do World Cup style conference tournament qualification this year for the first time. So they have 11 groups of 4, and you play them during the regular season, and the top 16 or top 22 advance into the actual tournament, which is pretty neat.
Love it. Michael.
Sticking with the tradition of Ohio State quarterbacks going to another school and absolutely tearing it up, Quinn Ewers goes to Alabama, beats the Tide with Texas. Anytime you beat Alabama, you get a big big boost in my book.
Big shout out. Should have stayed at Ohio State. Dylan.
Apparently not. Did pretty well.
Yeah, true.
Can't say Olivia Rodrigo since we already talked about her. So we will go with the music industry still. My dudes of the week, NSYNC, making a comeback on the VMAs last night.
Love it. Big time. I would love to know the viewership on the VMAs. I have to assume that it was pretty low. My last dude of the week. Up. Yeah, well, are the videos of her dancing old?
No.
Or was that from last night? All right. Needless to say, I did not watch the VMAs. My last dude of the week is a TikToker, so Nick will never have seen this. His name's Crush. I don't know if you guys have come across this guy, but he does a very, very good job. He's the one guy that does 1 minute, one match week, and he runs through all the match weeks and gives, like, his thoughts. He's a Leicester fan, so shout out Pod Mom on that one. But there's 2 TikToks that he did that were perfect. The first one that we are going to talk about here in a second is he broke down the Team USA game against Uzbekistan and basically said that it was the fakest 3-0 win of all time, which it was. And then he talked about the Alabama-Texas game, about the Texas players being racially abused on the sideline, and it actually is like a very good breakdown about how racism in sports is pretty fucked right now. So shout out to Crush.
Especially in Alabama.
Well, if you go to the forest, expect to see a bear. But what's up, Nick?
Can I make it, since you're going to clip this out, can I make a quick edit and remove Zach Wilson and Ashley throw out the Team Portugal scoring 9 goals without Ronaldo? Fuck you, Ronaldo.
Perfect. Yeah. I love that. So yeah, dudes of the week. Obviously next week it'll be actual players. We like to have a little bit of fun with it. Another team that's having a little bit of fun, maybe a coach that's not having a little bit of fun because some of this did not look that great. Team USA, they had 2 friendlies over this international break. They played Uzbekistan first. They played Oman second. They beat Uzbekistan 3-0. Tim Weah had a goal in the 4th minute. Ricardo Pepe in the 1st minute of stoppage time, 90+1. And then Pulisic had a pen 3 minutes after that. And then they beat Oman 4-0. Balogun in the 13th, Aronson in the 60th, Pepe in the 79th, and then an own goal by Oman in the 81st. Ricardo Pepe could have definitely been a dude of the week. I think he scored 4 of the last 5 or 5 of the last 6 games. So shout out to him. But I think the overwhelming feedback that I've seen online, that I've seen across Team USA fans, is that these score lines don't really do justice to what was going on in the game, and Greg Berhalter is probably not the answer. Not to call him a Southgate here, who's also under fire right now, but it's been tough. It's been tough sledding for Team USA. Any thoughts, guys?
Called it.
Yeah. What's our pod stance? What is our pod stance? Anyone but Greg?
Well, no, because there's nothing we can do about it. So I think we have to hope he doesn't suck.
Did you see the shirt that someone wore at the game yesterday of, why am I forgetting who the assistant was that took over for...
BJ Callahan.
Yeah, it's a BJ Callahan photo, and it just says, fuck it, we ball.
Yeah, I did see that, actually. I think that when we did the... when we did the podcast with Alexi Lalas, the man of so many takes, I think we mentioned this, and we're just like, man, it's been so exciting watching this team play more free under this assistant, under this interim. Like, it seems like this is, again, a reserve team, and I think that's the biggest fear, for sure. There's too much talent.
Has he still not spoke with Gio Reyna?
I don't think he has, which is also a disaster.
Pretty convenient he's injured right now, too, to keep kicking this down the road a little bit further. This snowball is just getting larger and larger.
As the, I would say, the pod's Greg Berhalter apologist and person who, you know, the record spoke for itself. Maybe, you know, the way of play is obviously not what you would want to see. Mm-hmm. It's pretty unacceptable to not have talked to him at this point. And I guess, like, you don't know for sure, I guess, but all the reports were, like, a month in, he has, like, not spoken with him or Pepe, I guess, either.
Well, I'd hope he's talked to Pepe. He was in the squad.
Yeah, Pepe's playing.
Well, right, but when the first report with Reyna came out, it was, like, both of them he hasn't spoke to. I'm assuming now that he's on this team, he has talked to him, but, like, Gio Reyna... probably not.
Yeah. I think actually the better way to describe this is ironic. If you remember, all of this blew up when Greg Berhalter was talking at a leadership council. And Nick, I mean, you're a head coach. I feel like you can speak to this. Not talking to maybe one of your best players in a lifetime as a Team USA. I wouldn't describe that as leadership, I guess. I don't know.
I'm no Pep Guardiola. I'm no Sir Alex Ferguson, and I'm definitely no Joe Torre, but I don't think that's recommended, not talking to your best player. I would say that's probably a poor decision, and even if it turns into, because unfortunately I've had some moments like this, I've had to have it, when I say have it out, I mean, we're not talking screaming and yelling, but like, we just were very blunt with each other. I've been coaching for a very, very long time. Like, those conversations need to be had, you know, and it's not only about the player being heard and getting out what they want to say, or either the coach saying what they want to say, but the player deserves to be heard. And as a coach, if you're not being reflective, if you're not able to look at yourself as part of the problem to be part of the solution, you know, to make the equation work, then are you really the guy that's fit for the job if you're not willing to grow, you know? And I think him avoiding it just makes it that much worse of a situation that is already pretty freaking bad.
Yeah. I don't think anyone on the pod would disagree with that. Again, Michael, you admitted being the apologist, but I kind of think you've run your course with this as well. We'll see. I will say this. Uzbekistan and Oman are not the matches that you should be excited to get any, I don't know, insights from or whatever. Like, I'll remind you, in October, they play Germany, they play Ghana, and then coming up, they're going to have Copa America, and that's going to be tough. It's going to be probably the toughest competition we've played, even counting this past World Cup. All those South American teams. It'll be on home soil, obviously, but there's a lot harder games ahead, and this team did not look that impressive with these two wins, needless to say. All right, let's dive in to our predictions for this match weekend. Let's go through it, because Michael gave me some shit last week that I haven't mentioned this. First things first, the entire podcast, all four of us are over 500 at the moment. I believe Dylan is 21-18. Nick, are you're shaking your head?
This is such a bad idea. It was a great run to start the season. Now we're just gonna tank. Like, now, you can't talk about a perfect game. You can't do it. You can't.
It's not a perfect game.
Pretty appeasing, good for us though.
I'm appeasing the masses, the little brother. Dylan, you're 21-18. I am sitting at 25-14. Nick is 26-13. And Michael is coming off of a 9-1 match week 4 at 29-10. I repeat, he was 9-1. He's 29-10. If anyone's getting bad juju, let's make sure it's Michael. We'll keep repeating his record here. He's in first place. And we're going to fly through this match week now. So you got the standings. Michael's in first. Michael's in first, Nick's in second, I'm in third, Dylan's in fourth, all of us over 500. That's kind of crazy. Let's dive into it. The younger brother derby is what's leading us off this weekend. Wolves is going to host Liverpool. Michael, you got to be the favorite in this one, so Dylan, let's have you lead us off. Tell us your pick for this matchup.
I'm going to go with Liverpool.
Dramatic pause. I love it.
In case people thought I was going to go the other way. I'm going to go with Liverpool. I do think we can maybe score a goal because they've looked leaky on the back. However, I think we might give up three is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my bets I will talk about later on for this one. Michael, who you got?
Well, I have a stat for you, Dylan, that I think you'll like. Last season, the 7:30 game. 2-2 draw to Fulham, 0-0 to Everton, 1-0 loss to Nottingham Forest, 0-0 to Chelsea, 1-0 loss to Bournemouth, 4-1 loss to Man City. We have not won a 7:30 start game in a year, over a year probably.
Sounds like you're due, Michael, so.
And not the first time he's actually brought that statistic up either.
Yeah, very true.
Well, I brought it up and I think we lost to Bournemouth the next game, so maybe it's a good sign for you. I'm going to go Liverpool because I don't think we're the team we were last year. But just interesting to think about.
That's a really nice way of saying Wolves suck, Michael. That's a really nice way of saying
it. I don't have them getting relegated.
I don't think anyone does anymore.
Can we go over that later?
Do you move them?
Yeah. Do you want to go over that before we break?
No, yeah, at the end. Yeah, okay. Just kind of go with the final table for the people.
Perfect. Nick, who you got? Wolves, Liverpool.
We got Liverpool. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, I got Liverpool as well. All right, game number two, Villa hosting Palace. Nick, lead us off with this one. Who you got, Villains versus the Eagles?
this game, if the reverse fixture is super interesting just because of home field advantage, but we know Palace doesn't play super well away, and yep. Villa is just still freaking hot, and I don't think they had a lot of players on international duty, so they're rested. This is a Villa win.
Yeah, I agree. I got Aston Villa in this one as well. Ditto to everything that Nick said. Michael, who you got?
I got the villains as well.
Dylan.
Make it a four-peat. We got the villains.
Love it. All right, I'll lead this one off. Fulham is going to host Luton. Luton Town. Look, there's one thing I want to say, and it's going to be a theme of this season because I think there are still two teams that are just very bad. Do I believe in bullying? Kind of, yeah, in some scenarios. I think in betting, you definitely got to believe in bullying. Anytime that you can bet against Luton, you should. Again, this is going to be preemptive to our bet talk later. I got Fulham in this one, but I'm going to double down on a bet with them later. Michael, who do you got? Fulham-Luton.
Fulham as well. I actually think Sheffield United, of those two bottom teams, I still think they're the two worst teams. Sheffield United has actually looked halfway decent. Luton mm-hmm. has... I mean, they actually should have got a point against West Ham, but they have not looked very good.
Yeah. Dylan, Fulham-Luton.
I'm going with Fulham. I think our boy Polina is going to score for the fact that he wants to get transferred so bad in January and needs to keep playing well for Bayern to want to take him.
I like that. I like that deep theory there. Nick, who you got? Fulham, Luton.
You know, I really want to be on the right side of history when Luton wins that one or two matches they actually win this year. So it's not this week because it's going to be Fulham, but I just wanted to say that I want to be on the right side, that the one time it happens, I want to be right.
Let me ask this quick question, and we'll go around the same way. So, Michael, Dylan, Nick, their points, you have to assume, are going to get picked up at home, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Luton on the road should be a no-brainer almost every time.
Some would say that they won't win a game on the road, but...
Some would. A couple podcasts ago, some would say that. I pick the game of the week every week. I don't care if people have an issue with it. The game of the week this week is Man United Brighton. It is the Caroline/Nick Derby. We'll come up with a better title for that in season 8. Nick, lead us off. Man United's hosting the Seagulls. What are your plans for the weekend? Let's start there.
Well, considering Caroline doesn't have any furniture in her apartment anymore, and it includes a television, and it's on Peacock, and I'm living at my parents' right now, I'm not sure where I'm watching this game, to be honest with you. So I just messaged her and said, hey, do you know who you're playing this weekend? I don't think she has, obviously, any clue. And she's just going to check the result and just going to want to say, like, if they win, like, fuck you, suck it, or some shit like that. I don't know, some shit-talking thing she would say, so.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, she definitely wants to be a fan just to talk trash to people, which is one of the many reasons why we love her. So
yeah.
I'm picking a draw.
Wow. With pragmatism.
Picking a draw with the leaning towards it most likely could possibly be a Brighton W. But I will say this, I think the star of the match, and I think the guy who's finally going to get some time, who deserves some time, Falco Pilastri, is finally, Pilastri, I can't remember there's an extra consonant in there or not, but I think he's going to get some burn. I think he's going to get his first start in the Premier League. Very direct player that is also very skilled. Pitcher and Alanga that can actually play with the ball at his feet. I'm hoping that's true because I've been wanting this for about 6 or 8 months.
On the 5-alarm fire scale, where are you at with the heat that's on the Red Devils right now?
I'm actually kind of excited about the fact that some people aren't allowed to play because it's forcing change. And I did want to say this, I will be very brief. I thought about the whole Sancho situation again from when we last talked. He's just a baby. Like, Ten Hag called out Garnacho. He responded by having a great season. He sat and called out Rashford last season, and he went off. And this happens with England. This happens here. Everything I'm reading is that the locker room is really getting sick and tired of him. You know, maybe he's just immature. He's just an immature kid. So I think giving some guys some fresh blood gets a little bit of energy, and they're going to want to prove something. Should be a good thing.
Like it. Dylan, who do you got? Man United, Brighton.
Man United, stay toxic. Let's go, Brighton.
Michael?
No Varane, right?
Most likely, Nick? Yeah.
Okay. So Amrabat's...
We're looking at...
Amrabat's not back.
You're looking at a Martinez, Lindelof, most likely center back pairing. Most likely.
With Johnny Evans off the bench.
Oh, kill me. What?
Who's playing left back?
Dalot might be playing left back. Might be Dalot.
And then Amrabat's still, he's hurt right now. Mount's hurt,
it's
I'm
good,
pretty sure, until like
good
October.
Thing, it's a good thing Michael did all the research he needed to do for
this. Yeah, Scott's, dude, McTominay is a, fuck it, put McTominay at the nine. The dude just scores goals for Scotland. Like it's insane.
I'm just saying, with that back line, it's Fergalicious. We're about to get some Fergalicious.
Well, he's hurt till mid-October.
Is he? Where'd he get injured?
I don't know. He's hurt, though. Doesn't matter. Brighton is going to win this game.
You tell me I wasted all that singing?
I think you did.
Yeah. Michael, who you got?
I just said Brighton is going to win this game.
Yeah. All right, cool. Your dial-up froze and we didn't get to hear it. All right, I got Brighton as well. Let's go to the next one. Tottenham hosting Sheffield United. Dylan, who do you got in this?
Currently looking up if Evan Ferguson's actually injured.
His tendon injury, September 1st.
This is embarrassing. All right, I'm going to go with Tottenham. I don't know. Tottenham's fun, and they're going to score a ton of goals, and I will be talking about that when we go to the betting section. So I will be taking Tottenham.
For sure. Nick, who you got?
Oh, it's probably Sergio Reguilon probably is going to start. I completely forgot about him at left back, so sorry. Yeah. What game again?
Tottenham, Sheffield United.
Oh, Spurs.
Yeah. Michael, who you got?
Spurs, since you don't like when I talk a lot.
Tottenham for me as well. It's just, you know, when it's on and on and on. Another one that could probably be quick, West Ham hosting Man City. I got City. I think West Ham's tough this year, but I think City will figure it out. Michael, who you got?
City.
Dylan?
City.
Nick?
We're going to little Wayne this plus one, City.
Okay, perfect. Another one, as DJ Khaled would say. I think this game will be interesting. I think it would be even more interesting, again, much like Villa and Palace, if it was flipped. Newcastle is going to host Brentford. Michael, Newcastle or Brentford? Who do you got?
I got Newcastle. Brentford is pretty hit or miss. They could definitely win this game because Newcastle has been a little bit shaky, but Newcastle at home, I think I'd back them.
For sure. Nick, who you got?
They're going to be partying on the Geordie Shore. I think, as you said, if this is flipped, it's a little bit of an issue, but I think Newcastle at home, despite Nick Pope's shakiness a little bit.
So bad.
Yeah, so bad, but I think Newcastle at home is a completely different club.
Yeah.
So I think you got to go with them at home.
Dylan?
For different reasons than I called it a must win against Everton for the Wolves, this is a must win for Newcastle. So, backs against the wall, I think Newcastle wins.
Gotcha. I got Newcastle as well. Dylan, lead us off here because you broke your streak of putting a Chelsea player in the Dudes of the Week, although this Dudes of the Week probably won't count. Bournemouth is going to host Chelsea. Who you got in this?
I hate this pick so much that I love it. Yes. Bournemouth.
I love that. I knew you were going there. I'm gonna temper expectations a little bit. I have a draw. I think Chelsea's still a train wreck, and I think Bournemouth's kind of on the up. Michael and I have a Bournemouth friend now. Shout to Craig. He's all over the world. If you check their Instagram out, he was just in Singapore or some shit. But I got a Bournemouth draw here. Nick, who you got in Bournemouth-Chelsea?
Oh, man. You know, I was thinking draw.
I don't want you on my side.
But now he's like, I gotta make up some ground on Michael.
I got to get out of the mindset of it's Chelsea. Like, they'll be fine. Like, I got to remember they're a mid-table team. I got to remember that. I'm picking a draw. I'm picking a draw.
I think it's a good. I think it's a good draw pick. It's the best draw pick of the week for sure. Michael, who you got?
I got three draws.
You know why it's such a good draw pick is because Bournemouth are not scared at all of Chelsea.
True.
Absolutely not. Iraola is not scared of them. Nope. They're going to Bournemouth home game. They're gonna get that press on. Chelsea can't score. This is so close to being a guaranteed Bournemouth win that it's a Bournemouth-Chelsea draw.
Yeah, so three draws.
I just like to throw out, if somehow I am right, Chelsea doesn't get another point until December. Just throwing it out there.
Bold prediction, throw it on there. Bold prediction.
December?
Michael, hang on. Before Dylan...
I could be wrong. It might be November, after the next eight games.
You said December. Wait.
The funnier thing was... Based on prior pods that we've done together, as soon as Dylan went into this, I was about to say, Dylan, it's a little early to start bartering of, like, if I get this, it's actually worth 10 points as opposed to just the one.
Villa, Brighton, Fulham, Burnley, Arsenal, Brentford, Spurs, City, Newcastle, Brighton in December 2nd, United December 6th, and then Everton December 9th, and Sheffield December 16th. Dylan
spot
might be right.
Spot the lie.
Yeah.
Dylan might be right.
It's no gusto.
Burnley.
No bueno for the
Burnley's their next best shot.
Burnley or Brentford?
Let's say this, though, real quick before we move on to the next one. With that logic, are they getting rid of Poch? I mean, it's in their nature.
They can't.
Yeah,
But if they do it, they're literally the Simpsons meme of just walking in and out of the door, and they will be doing that forever. Like,
and Frank's going to Lyon apparently, so they have no caretaker to pick up.
Oh no,
poor Lyon.
He'll do dual managing ship. He'll do both.
I can't wait for the fans at Lyon to start screaming at Frank after games instead of the players.
Does he know French?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. Or I can't speak French either. All right, Everton Arsenal. It's at Everton. I don't think that matters. I think Everton's on the cusp of being a team that you can bully as well. I got Arsenal. Michael, who you got?
Gunners.
Dylan.
Arsenal.
Nick.
Pew pew.
Gunners.
Yep. Last game, Forest Burnley. I think this will be an interesting one. I'm going to make myself go first just because company's there. I don't know. I got a connection with him. I do think Burnley gets this one done. It's the first game that we're going to be able to see Burnley play against a team that they need to be able to compete with and beat and win if they are going to be more of a mid-table team. I got Burnley because I believe in it. Dylan, who you got in this?
I wore this in honor of Burnley getting their first victory, mostly for the fact that if I am wrong, then it makes me feel really good as a Wolves fan. But I think that they're finally going to play their championship type of style football, and we're going to find out if it works against teams that aren't in the top half of this league.
I love it.
Also, Nick? Goals.
Yeah. I'm taking a draw.
Ooh, you have four draws or three? Is this
three?
One of your three.
Three. This is one of my three. Big draw.
All right. Love it, Michael.
Give me Forest, baby.
Forest. This is where Michael separates if they can get a win here. Also, is that an Allison kit?
This?
Yeah.
No, it's Gakpo.
Oh, I thought that was the goalie kit for some reason. Interesting.
No, this is the our third. I was trying to think of in my head when we would wear this, and I think it's at Brentford, at Sheffield United, and I think that's it.
Love it. All right. Let's get into the betting section. Dylan's betting corner. He's going to host it. He always hosts it, but he doesn't really host it. I'm not going to put that on him because I didn't tell him to do that. Dylan, do you want to start with your bets first before we get into the pod lay? Or, guys, do you guys have them? Who should we start with here?
I got mine.
Let's Michael, do the pod lay.
You want to do the pod lay first?
Yeah, why not?
All right, Michael, give me your leg of the pod lay.
So, I just want to be transparent here. My leg was the one that lost our pod lay last time. The weakest leg of the parlay lost.
How strong of you.
So, yeah, sorry. I am going to go with I think Aston Villa at home minus 110 is criminal.
Love it. You're exactly who Vegas loves.
Why? That's ridiculous.
Why?
The fact that you're saying that, I don't disagree that Villa's going to win and it should be all right, but like that line being like that and you saying that is why they're licking their chops that something weird's going to happen in that game.
I had something else, but I feel like someone else is going to take it.
That's fine. No, we're going to stick with it. I just want to say if we have this conversation that you're the one who screwed it up next week, we know why.
Love it. Nick, your first podlay, who do you got in your leg?
Just a quick sidebar with this. Are we like all collectively, are we betting like $4 on this and we all put like $1 into the pot or something?
No.
The corporate card.
The corporate card's got it. I put $10 on each of these because if they hit, then I don't ever have to put money in it again because usually they get a little outlandish.
Okay. I think this is the beginning of the end for Everton. I'm taking Arsenal over 2.5 goals at plus 165. I'm going to make us some money, boys.
All right. Looks like I have to change my bet.
That's what you had to?
No, but I was going to that game, so I'll pick it. Give me some time. Filibuster for me.
Oh, we could same game parlay, baby. Don't worry.
I got you.
SGPX.
I've been really into these game parlays. That's how I actually won a pretty hefty bounty last week. I didn't know if people knew this, and I'm probably shocking everyone because I'm pretty anti-MLS, but the Hudson River Derby is this weekend. I got NYCFC win over 1.5 for the game goals, plus 170. That's my leg of the podlay.
Dylan. You made this so fucking hard.
So we will do... Now that I have to switch it up, what's a good one here? Nick, I'll join you. We'll do Spurs over 2.5 goals at plus 100.
Oh, I like it.
Love that. All right.
That's like a guarantee, actually.
Podlay is set. We'll send it out. Yeah, dude, who invited him? We'll send it out on the socials. Now let's get into some individual bets. Michael, what do you got cooking as your individual bet?
I have lost incredibly too much money first week college football. I'm taking a break this week.
God, he lasted 4 weeks this time, folks. Nick,
no, I'm so happy. I'm so happy soccer's back because I'm way better at it. College football, like I was never close to winning anything.
Nick, you got any bets?
I don't right now because I'm a little cold, but I would like to throw out a few futures that I did bet. I did bet Kelechi Iheanacho to win the Golden Boot in the championship, which is not going well. And I'm still waiting on my Inter Miami bet to win the MLS Cup to come true.
Hey, they look tough. They're actually going to roll me into my individual bets. I'll take up the slack for Michael. Because he was doing like a parlay bet, and then we'll roll it to Dylan for his individuals for this week too. I mentioned that I was getting a little obsessed with these same game parlays. I need to be checked into a hospital. I'm fully obsessed. I'm admitting I have a problem. Liverpool win over 1.5. Fulham win over 1.5. Arsenal win over 1.5. Inter Miami win over 1.5. That gets you $14.98. $10 on it. That's what I'm placing, and it'll win you $159. So that's my parlay for the week that Michael usually does. It's essentially an 8-leg parlay. So I apologize.
Yeah, Dylan. That's all right. It's good to give them money. All right, we're gonna start off. I'm going back to some of my bread and butter. United Brighton. Over 10.5 corners, plus 115. Both have been having over 13 corners a game, so let's hope that doesn't just stop right in its tracks this weekend. I don't know why. It's probably going to be the complete opposite, but I just this is very much a gut pick. Newcastle-Brentford under 2.5 at plus 120. Something tells me it's a 1 or 2-0 win, Newcastle. probably wrong. Then we're looking at a plus 160 same game of Liverpool to win and both teams to score, which I guess is going to not happen. Reverse jinx because of what Michael told me and you guys at 12:30 games. And then finally, we're going to do Arsenal getting a clean sheet against Everton and to win at plus 165.
Love it.
Damn.
I went all plus money. I think I'm coming back strong after the national break.
Yeah. I think we took our licks the first couple of weeks, like we mentioned before. We had to feel out the field, and now I think we're coming in with a vengeance. Hopefully, Michael, you can get your money up and get back into it. It's good to have a third person. Nick, I apologize for the futures. Although, I will say, I'd be remiss not to say, like, this Inter-Miami bet looked awful on the face of it.
Oh, you told me.
And now I'm sitting here, I'm like, no, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, and if you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And then they have a really, really good chance of winning the treble.
Yeah, there's a team called Philadelphia Union can stop them right in their tracks.
Well, they can still win too because they got to beat the Dynamo in the what's it called, Hunt Trophy. The guys from Columbus, I should know this, but Inter Miami, crazy. Next season's going to be nuts with a full season with them. All right, before we leave, before we bounce, we're gonna have each person go through their final table predictions of the season.
Oh my God.
Since I am talking and I want to stop talking because I'm losing my voice, I'll go through mine. I'll start from the bottom. Luton. Hold on, let me adjust this. I'll start from the bottom. Luton's in the basement. Sheffield United in 19th and Everton in 18th getting relegated. Wolves survive in 17th, Forest in 16th, Burnley in 15th. Bournemouth 14th, Fulham in 13th, West Ham in 12th. Palace, upset of the season, not finishing 12th, actually in 11th. Brentford in 10th, Brighton in 9th, Spurs in 8th. I think I will regret that. Newcastle in 7th, Villa 6th, Chelsea 5th. I think I may also regret that. United 4th, Arsenal 3rd, Liverpool 2nd, City to take it all. I'm just going left to right. Michael, give us your final table.
Sheffield at the bottom, Luton 19th, Everton 18th, all three getting relegated, obviously. Wolves just making the cut. Then Fulham, Nottingham Forest at 15, Crystal Palace at 14, Bournemouth at 13, Burnley at 12, West Ham 11, Brentford 10, Chelsea 9, Villa 8, Newcastle 7, Man United 6, Brighton 5, Spurs 4, Arsenal 3, Liverpool 2, City 1.
Dylan.
Similar at the bottom. I don't like this anymore. Luton, Sheffield, Everton getting relegated. Fulham's going to lose their best player in January, and then they'll go sliding into 17th. Wolves at 16, Burnley, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Brentford, Chelsea coming in at the 10th spot, West Ham 9, Newcastle 8, Villa 7, Spurs sneak into Europe at 6 with Brighton at 5, and then Man United at 4th, Liverpool 3rd, City 2nd, Arsenal 1st, just because I need some flavor for you guys.
And Nick, take us home.
Luton in 20th, Sheffield 19, Everton 18, and then Bournemouth, Wolves, Nottingham Forest, West Ham at 14, Burnley at 13, Palace at 12, Fulham 11, Brentford 10, Chelsea 9. I am as well going to regret putting Spurs at 8. Villa 7, Brighton 6, Newcastle 5, Liverpool 4, United 3, which I'm going to kind of regret, I think, Arsenal 2, and City matching Man United, going back-to-back, two-back.
No, it's our fourth one.
Oh, LOL.
So we beat you. Yeah, it's okay. Look, it's funny. It's funny when you do this, and we submitted it last week, and we can already sit here and be like, I already know the ones that are going to totally tank this for me.
Dude, the championship table, I did it. I meant to go back and look at it before, and I was going off of last season. I'm like, oh, dude, Middlesbrough was great. Like, you know, Michael Carrick had him cooking. Like, they're definitely going to be up there. I think they're 0-6.
I forgot to change my table, and I have them winning it all.
I have them in like second. I have them like second or third, I think.
I forgot to change mine too. And extension. I will say this. Maybe Michael's the arbiter of this. I will say this though. Like, that's a very long season. That's a very, very long season. So like,
that does not matter right now.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't
Luton, weren't they?
Someone was in last place. It wasn't Luton. Was it Luton?
Luton was down there.
Yeah. I don't know. It might have been Sheffield. It wasn't Burnley. Burnley, like, was from tape to tape.
No, I think it was, like, 2 years ago. I was going to say it was Brentford, but I don't think it was Brentford either, so I don't know.
Oh, well. All right. Good app. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
All right, boys. Why didn't the dog want to play soccer? He was a boxer. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.